This morning we're trying something a bit different at the start of the year. We flagged this last week, and you may have seen it in the newsletter this week. Rather than rushing on and just pressing into the year, we wanted to take a moment just to slow down and to reflect on who we are as a church family and to look ahead with open hands. You've seen Stefan and Monique do that as they've come this morning, and we want to be a church that does that as well as we come to this new year. A lot of praying and discerning and dreaming leads to the start of a new year. Not because we have everything figured out, we want to get all our T's crossed or I's dotted, but because we want to be intentional about how we walk with God and with one another. And this morning, my hope is that we revisit who we are as a church, what makes us us, that we remember what shapes us, and that perhaps we just might begin to notice what God is calling us to step into as we move into the year ahead. Well, who are we? Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Pretty existential questions, right? How do you describe who you are? What places do you describe it with? Or experiences, perhaps? Maybe relationships. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a son. Several years ago, a group of people sat together and attempted to articulate in words who we are as a church family and who we want to be as a church. And this vision statement is what they landed on. We exist to be a spirit-filled whānau that encounters the love of Jesus, to see people grow in him and bring transformation to the community and beyond. You may have heard those words before. I'll be honest, when I arrived a few years ago, it took me a fair while of sitting with these words and listening and watching the way we do church to make sense of what they actually mean. But I've come to appreciate each of the four parts of this statement. First, a spirit-filled whānau. Scripture reminds us that we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. We saw that in our journey last year. And this is about more than just friendliness or a shared culture. It's about us being people that are shaped by and animated by the Spirit of God, belonging to one another as family. We don't gather as individuals who happen to share a room, but because we each share the Holy Spirit, we are formed into one body, learning to live life together, attentive to what the Spirit is saying to us and is doing among us. Second, encountering the love of Jesus. This is how God showed his love among us. John writes, not as an idea, but as a person. At the center of our life together is not an effort or a behavior, but it's an encounter revealed again and again and again in the person of Jesus. The love of God revealed in Jesus. Everything flows from that place, right? We don't move towards God to earn our love, but we respond because we have been loved. We are loved. Third, growing in him, to see people grow in him. Paul encourages in Colossians for the church to continue living their lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him. It's impossible to force or rush growth. Any watch of this tried? You can do some things to help, but you can't force growth. It's always organic, it's relational, and it's ongoing, always by being connected to the source of life itself. We want to be people who keep deepening in our faith, in our wisdom, in our maturity, becoming more like Jesus, growing in him over time as we remain connected to him. And the fourth part, bringing transformation to our community and beyond. Jesus tells his followers, you are the light of the world. You are the people that will demonstrate to the world what it means to know what hope truly is. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but so that God might be glorified through what we do and how we live our life together. Through what is seen and how we are his people. And the thing that I love about this whole statement is that all these phrases, they flow into one another. Transformation, that the end isn't something that we manufacture. It's what happens when a spirit-filled whānau, shaped by love and rooted in Christ, live faithfully and visibly in the places that God has planted them. It just happens that we bring transformation by the Spirit's work in us as we encounter God's love and grow. When the group put this statement together, they also come up with five values to describe our actions and the way that we want our behavior to be shaped, the way that we aspire to live with one another and with the community around us. Love. The greatest of all of these is love. Generosity, connection, community, service. And it's a privilege to stand back and see these five words outworked in our church community. Ella and I felt so loved very quickly as we moved here a few years ago. Show the same to Stafford and Monique as they move here, hey? I'm continually staggered by the generosity of this church. Generosity which is shown in many ways. Financially, yep, seeing the pledges and donations towards the gym was staggering, and how good is it to see things happening? But also people who offer time, generosity of spirit, people who lend their ear, a listening ear, who stop and pause and are generous with the time that they have in loving those that are around them. And then our service and our engagement with the community. It's significant. I was speaking to someone this week who made the comment that we are a church. She wasn't part of this church, and I don't even know if she's a believer. But we're known as a church that is engaged in the community, engaged and involved. Whether it's the recent project of Evergreen House coming to fruition, or our ongoing relationship with Vincent House, the Hub, the community garden, all of these are organizations and projects that come out of people just trying to follow Jesus from this church family. We're known as a church that wants to bless and to love our community. The prayer is that people see Jesus in that, right? Everything here, everything on that screen, they're just words. They are just words. But they're words that attempt to describe who we are and how we choose to walk together and who we want to be. Another thing that shapes who we are is the fact that we're a Baptist church. Now, it's important to say this really clearly. Not everyone here will call themselves a Baptist, and that's okay. You don't have to carry that label, if it is a label, to belong here. First and foremost, we are followers of Jesus, learning to walk in his way together. But at the same time, every church lives out that shared faith through tradition. These traditions don't replace the gospel. They simply give shape, and they help us work out how communities work together, how we make decisions, how we live faithfully. And there's value in every different tradition. So for us, the Baptist tradition has shaped some of the values that hold us together. And there's two things that I think are particularly worth naming. It's almost the water that we live in, and we don't realize that we are living and breathing it. The first is a covenantal commitment to one another. That's why we talk about membership the way we do. It's not about signing up to a club or drawing lines about who's in and who's out. It's about naming commitment to people, to place, choosing who we belong to. We belong to the body. That we choose to walk together, to show up, to be part of this church family. This is why turning up matters, because of our covenantal commitment. And the second is that we believe in the priesthood of all believers, which is the belief that every follower of Jesus is called and gifted by the Spirit. We're a Spirit-filled whānau. I'm not a Spirit-filled individual, I am, but I'm not a Spirit-filled individual just trying to lead us. We all are gifted by the Spirit. And I noted this week, down briefly, the many different ways that people serve this church, and came up with 36 categories, Rachel, if you jump to the next slide, or 36 categories or roles that are part of this church family, and I probably missed some. Church isn't something we just consume. We turn up on a Sunday morning and we consume. It's something that we participate in. It's something that we are, something that we do. We do church together. And I encourage you to continue finding your place to serve and use your gifting. If you're not sure, then talk to someone about that. And part of believing in this priesthood of all believers is that we don't have a hierarchy over one or another. We don't have any believe that any person has more authority over one another. Christ has all authority, we believe. And that's why we value listening together, discerning together, making space for the voices and for the gifts of the whole community. Because God speaks through his people by his Spirit. That's why we have those awesome things called church meetings. Because we believe that we discern the mind of Christ together. Your voice, your prayer, your discernment matters. So whether you call yourself a Baptist or not, whether you're an official member or not, these values shape the kind of church that we're hoping to be. A people that are committed to one another, attentive to the Spirit, and open to the way that God works through us as a body. Before we continue, kids, most of them have left, so the kids that are left in here might appreciate this more. Kids, I need some help. I need two volunteers who are intermediate age or younger. And before you're rushed, I need you to be able to read something out and be able to work your way through a Bible. Johnny? Okay, come up here. Come up here. Johnny is eating some food. Oh, dear. All right. We're all talking about stepping out here, okay? So I've got some feet. Carolyn is going to go down to the very back. Shoes off. You're going to have to do shoes off. Sorry. One time you wear shoes, Johnny. That's so true. All right. Here's what we're going to do. You are going to run all the way to Carolyn's going to be at the very back by the exit sign. If we're down the rows, can we just make sure we kind of keep our legs in so we don't do any tripping? You've got big feet. I said intermediate age or younger, I probably should have said primary school. This is going to be fun. All right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to run to Carolyn at the back. Lily, you're going to go that way. Johnny, you're going to go that way. And when you come back, you need to come the opposite way, all right? Because that makes it fair. And what you're going to do is Carolyn's got a Bible. And in that Bible is a balloon. You need to run down to Carolyn. And then you need to come back. You need to blow the balloon, pop it, find the thing that's inside the balloon, and then find the verse in scripture in the Bible that you'll carry back where that verse is. Make sense? Yep. Let's count down. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Keep your legs in, folks. Didn't do a health and safety ram's horn for this. Oh, the technique is developing. Right, remember you get your opposite way back so it's nice and fair. Go Lily! Go Johnny! All right, balloons. The balloon technique needs a little bit of work. No cheating. These are quite solid balloons. They're quite old as well. Okay, go on, pin from Carolyn. Whoa. Hey. All right. Bible hunting. I'm going to read Psalm 25, though, I think. Yep, I know. Yep, we've got Johnny. Well done, Johnny. And Lily's got it as well. Awesome job. All right. Give him a hand. Lily, can you read that out for us? Rachel, jump to the next slide.
As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight you for you, and you need only to be still."
Awesome job. Give her a hand. We've got another verse as well. Next one, Rachel.
"Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake."
Keep going.
"When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear."
Keep going.
"But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'"
Keep going.
"Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water."
Keep going.
"Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus.
Give him a hand. Well done. Good effort. Who'd know it's so hard to puff up a balloon after you're tired, hey? Oh, you broke the jandals. That's all right. Never mind. These stories, two stories, either end of Scripture, they remind us of a couple of things, I think. First, that faith often begins before anything changes. Moses raises his staff while the sea is still in front of him, right? Peter swings his leg out and over the boat while the wind is still strong and the waves are crashing around him. In both of those stories, obedience comes before clarity. And second, God doesn't always remove the obstacle first. There's often a moment, quiet, internal, and deeply personal that comes before that step of faith. A decision has to be made while the situation is unresolved, while there's barriers in our way. Not because God's distant or not at work, but because trust is being formed and developed in the process. And in that moment, the invitation isn't to be fearless or heroic. is simply just to respond, to listen, to take the next faithful step, even when the outcome's not yet visible. And that's true in Scripture, and it's true in our lives too, isn't it? It's always an act of faith to step out when nothing has seemingly changed yet. Over the past year, or last few months in particular, through prayer, conversation, feedback from our AGM, those lovely meetings, I genuinely do love them, conversations as elders and ministry leaders, we've heard a few consistent themes emerge across the life of our church. We've heard that we desire to grow more deeply as disciples. We've heard a longing to press further into prayer and dependence on God. We've heard the recognition that evangelism and outreach requires courage, not guilt. And heard the call to be recentered on Jesus rather than on activity or performance. Those are the themes. If you take all the stuff that's been talked about, these are some of the things that elders have heard and discerned. And rather than asking us as a people to do more, because that's so tiring, right? Do more. Keep going. Add this to the plate. The focus this year as a church is us becoming a people who know who God is, who we are in Him, and how to listen well, how to bear faithful witness in our community and beyond. And so I want to talk through a few of the ways that there's an invitation to step into these things over the year. Firstly, by looking at the parts of Scripture that we'll sit and wrestle with as a whole church, how Scripture will guide us through the year. We've begun the year looking at the way that Jesus calls us to follow Him and to trust Him, the 3 weeks on the videos. And next week, we'll continue in Isaiah, grounding ourselves in the story of a God who sees, who calls, who comforts a people, who restores, who renews. And we're going to work through Isaiah in 3 different parts this year. Then we're going to move on to 4 weeks of prayer. Helping us to grow in the way we pray, reminding ourselves of our dependency on God in the way that we pray. Which leads us all the way up to Easter, when then we'll start working through Colossians, placing Jesus unmistakably at the very center of our lives, of our discipleship, of our faith. My hope is that Colossians, that book of Colossians, becomes the core, the center of our year together. And the end of Colossians then leads us right up to Ascension and the Pentecost moment. And we'll kick off a series in Acts, looking at the first 9 chapters. Many other Baptist churches actually will be doing the same, particularly on Pentecost, with the kickoff of an Acts 2 movement, a movement that is a worldwide thing for Baptist churches. So we'll talk about that more to come. And as a part of these 9 chapters of Acts, we'll look at Renew Together, embedded within that series. We'll see mission not as an obligation, but as participation in what God is already doing, locally, globally. We'll then have 3 weeks exploring how we think about the Treaty of Waitangi and being church. It's a very current conversation, and we have a history as a church that shapes how we come to that conversation. But it's a conversation that we must have and we need to have, and we have delayed for too long. We'll have a few guest speakers as part of that too. I'm looking forward to that, those 3 weeks, but I'm also feeling the weight of what they might hold for us. And then we'll have the second part of Isaiah, exploring what does it mean to have good news in the wilderness, in Isaiah 40 to 55. And the following series, September, Seeing Jesus, will help us slow down, and we'll look at all 4 Gospels in 4 weeks. Attending to the witness of Christ and how we think about and read Scripture, how we see Jesus. And then finally, we'll end the year spending 7 or 8 weeks looking at the parables that Jesus shares about the kingdom in Matthew 13. And we'll end the year with a third part of Isaiah and Advent. This is where we sense God is leading us. This is how we've listened together, and this is where it's landed. Not because we've got it all figured out, but because we've listened together and because we want to grow in Him. I'm really excited to dive deep and see how the year will unfold and just flow from moment to moment. A quick note about those about listening to sermons. Thanks to the work of our tech team, we live stream every week. Some will be online right now. And these are available to view for multiple weeks after each service. But towards the end of last year, we made the call to set up a sermon stream on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Jumps next screen, Rachel. So if you want to catch up on a sermon that you've missed, we'll perhaps listen again, and hopefully this is one way that it's a lot more accessible and easier to listen on the go. We've used Easy Church for a while, but that costs a whole lot of money, and there's very little people actually using it, so we're going to ditch that. And instead, we'll have YouTube still available, and then we'll have Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can search for that now, and most of last year's are on there already. But you might have noticed as those slides went across, there was other things mentioned there alongside those sermon series. Because if one of the things that we feel called to is discipleship, or growing in Him, to use the language of our vision statement, then growth always has to have pathways. And so we've thought carefully about preaching, but we've also thought about the opportunities beyond Sunday morning to grow together. And we've planned a few one-day courses or seminars, learning opportunities. We're hoping to host an alpha course at some point or similar for those that are seeking to explore faith deeper. There'll be the annual gather retreat for our women. Men, I think we need to do something. There'll be opportunities to dig deeper, and one of those is Catherine, who's going to speak to that briefly about an opportunity to be discipled to grow.
So Journey is an international discipleship ministry which I've been involved with for 10 years, if you've seen the slide in the newsletter the last couple of weeks. I think the courses are great for anyone wanting to deepen their discipleship walk, but they particularly resonate with people for whom their choices or other people's choices mean that they've ended up in a situation that they never expected to end up in. For me, my unexpected situation was getting married as a Christian and ending up divorced. But prior to that, I recognised that I had addictive tendencies, but I didn't understand the underlying issues until I attended one of these courses. The Journey courses being run in New Zealand currently are being run in person in Palmerston North, and there's also an option to do them online. The format is an hour of worship and teaching and an hour of small group ministry with separate groups for males and females. The six-week 101 course, which is starting in February, is an introduction to the ministry and a prerequisite course for the 17-week Journey Discipleship course, which is planned to start in May. So contact me if you've got any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Yeah, so if you want to press in deeper and explore stuff that's been holding you back or you haven't been able to make sense of, I really encourage you. I've seen the material. It's really good. I'd encourage you to have a chat to Catherine about it. One of the other key parts of discipleship is the way that we connect during the week. Following Jesus is not just a Sunday activity, and Sunday can only hold so much for us as followers of Jesus. But it's something we need encouragement in throughout the rest of the week, to be spurred on. And one of the key ways that we do this is in our home groups, and Joe's just going to briefly speak to this as well.
So you've heard the why, about why home groups are really important. Obviously, church on a Sunday morning absolutely matters. It's really important, and we're so glad to see that you're all here this morning. But church was never meant to be a once a week experience. We grow best when we're known, when we're walking alongside others, and when faith is lived out in everyday life. And so in the past, here at Te Puke Baptist Church, we've done home groups really well. However, we believe that there is definitely room for us to grow in this space this year. Currently, we have 194 adults listed as members or regular attenders. Of these, 96 are part of an existing home group. Now, I know numbers don't paint the whole picture, but they can be helpful to see where we're at and to give us context. Our current home groups meet on different days of the week, some fortnightly, some in the evening, others in the afternoon. Some are focused on Bible study, others are more about sharing life together and maybe some dessert. But all of them are about following Jesus and encouraging each other. If you're not part of a group yet, we really want to encourage you to be part of a group. We know there's lots and lots of valid reasons why people can't and don't commit to a home group long term. I'll let you into a secret. You don't have to sign up for 40 years like the Russell Home Group, okay? Just so you know. Maybe you know that you've got a six-week window later in the year, perhaps when work or family commitments aren't too heavy. Could you commit to 6 weeks of meeting together with others? Make some boundaries as a group, like we finish at 8:30 p.m. So everyone knows it won't be a late night. And everyone knows that after 6 weeks, that's it. Maybe you're put off by traditional home groups, sitting around in a circle in someone's lounge. But you know what? It doesn't actually have to look like that either. It could be meeting in a cafe, going for a walk on the beach and just walking and talking together, sharing life. Get creative. If our goal is to encourage one another and grow in faith, then we can do that anywhere. As we look ahead to this year, we know as a church we need to make more space for new people. That means new groups, which means new leaders. Can I encourage you to prayerfully consider whether this is something that you could step into this year? You don't actually have to be an expert. I'll let you into another secret, no one actually is. You just need to be willing. There are plenty of resources and support available to help. So what's next? If you're looking to join an existing home group, please chat with Josiah or myself or any of the current home group leaders. And if you're a current home group leader, could you just stand where you are sitting and we can just have a look around at your lovely faces and you can just clock people. Awesome, thank you. If you're even slightly curious about starting a group, long or short term, Josiah or I again would love to chat with you about that too. No pressure, just a conversation. This year let's be a church where people are known, we're supported and we're growing in faith together, not just on Sundays, but during the week. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. So the long and short is find your way to grow. Find the people that you can connect with. Find the people beyond Sunday that you can connect and grow with. Because we need that as followers of Jesus. One of my other key hopes for this year is that we also grow in our dependency on prayer. In our corporate worship, and then what happens in our corporate worship would then shape and deepen our personal prayer lives as well. As I mentioned, very shortly we'll have a four-week series later in the year focusing specifically on prayer. But growth doesn't happen through teaching. It comes through practice, through making space, through doing stuff, through making space to be with God. We'll have 48 hours, and it seems like a very short space of time and a very long space of time. Anyone tried playing for an hour straight? We're going to have 2 days non-stop as a church through the night where we will pray as a church. And we'll talk more about what that will look like closer to the time. But I'm looking forward to that. I think that has the power to shape a lot. There are weekly men and women's prayer groups, another moment to connect with one another and to pray. And then there's our monthly prayer and worship evenings, the first Sunday of the month. These are some of my favorite moments in our life as a church together. And for the most part, they're pretty invisible. But they're moments of incredible closeness with God where we sing, we anchor ourselves in the Psalms, we pray together. Normally there's a group of about 10 to 20 would be a top set it's ever been. And here's a gentle challenge. If this isn't part of your rhythm, would you consider coming to two this year? Pick 2 months and come to two prayer and worship evenings this year. And just see what God does in that space, in you and in us. Not to perform, not to impress, not to do anything drastic, just to be present and turn up together. And for a lot of us, I know that praying out loud might feel very uncomfortable or unfamiliar, and that's completely okay. You're not expected to say anything at these gatherings, just for what it's worth. You can just come and be still and listen. Simply just take time to prioritize being with God. Sometimes the most faithful prayer is just turning up and listening, making space. It's prayer that postures our hearts before God in the right way. And it's prayer that brings us back to that moment at the edge of the water where we acknowledge our faith and dependency on Him. As Moses holds out his staff, the sea does part. As Peter steps out of the boat, the water does hold him initially. God does do what he said he would. But it's only after the obedience that Moses and Peter find God's promises to be true. It's only after stepping out in obedience and trusting in God that they see God do what he said he would. And so this morning there's been, in multiple ways, and there is the invitation to step out. What might God be asking you to step into this year? What's the next faithful step that God's asking you to make? We're about to come to a time of communion to draw our worship together. A time of pausing and drawing to the table that reminds us of all that God has done for us. That we can take these steps of faith because Christ has already gone before us. We can have confidence because of all that Christ has done. And we come to a beautiful new communion table this morning, designed by Amy. Thanks, Amy. A table which has a cross, if you can see, in the bracing of the frame. I think it's a stunning imagery, if you can see it, of the way that the cross is the center of our table fellowship together. And so we'll come and take communion in a moment. But under your seats is also a footprint with a pen that's hopefully close-ish by. If not, then just grab someone that's next to you. And as we come to this time of communion, I want us to come and take the elements and take them back to your seats and perhaps ponder the question that's on the paper. As you take this communion together, as we take communion, ponder this question. Where might Jesus be inviting me to step towards him this year? Because that's where we're heading. We're heading towards Jesus. But where? In what part of our life? Perhaps you might write something on this paper that you sense God's leading you into. A posture, a practice, a risk, maybe a surrender. Whatever it means for you to follow Jesus. And then can I encourage you to take that bit of paper home? Maybe put it on the fridge, on the toilet door. Somewhere there you're going to see it and pray over it in the weeks to come. And maybe you don't feel ready to write something down today. And that's also okay. That's no problem whatsoever. But take it home still. Consider what it might be. What is God inviting you to step into this year? What is Jesus inviting you to step towards him in this coming year? Let's come to the table together. Can I get people to take them to the four corners and just serve people in the corners? So we head to the corners just for some efficiency rather than all coming to the front. And take communion and then just spend some time with God. And then we'll close our time together singing, God, I Look to You, as a church family.